So, Daniel, tell me about Games for Change.
Games for Change is the Asia Pacific installment of a big organization, Games for Change, that operate branches all over the world. So, Games for Change Asia Pacific, we're in our second year. We're a festival that showcases all of the wonderful games that are being created in the Asia Pacific region. And our games focus on three areas: education, health, and social change. And all of these games address something in those areas. So there are games for improving classroom experiences, for education and training across a range of industries, school, university, and professional training using games. There's games in healthcare, everything from diagnosis to rehabilitation to, again, training and education, specifically in the health sciences, and then a range of social justice and culture games, games about preserving cultural heritage and also addressing social issues, everything from domestic violence to making sure that youth are aware of what's going on in the streets around them, and all these kinds of games addressing a social impact purpose.
How did this start?
Games for Change started in New York about 10 years ago, and it's since opened up chapters all around the world. And Asia Pacific, we started last year. We had our first festival, which was all online, and we got to showcase over 100 different games, and hear from over 100 different speakers about the and developers and researchers from across industries talking about how they develop the games and how they work. And this year we're doing the first installment that will be both online and in person with a range of panel discussions that are all happening at ACME.
So is this a charity or is it something else? Is it a business? What is it?
Games for Change is a not-for-profit, and so we basically, yeah, put on, we work, we have a lot of volunteers that work to put on the festival each year.
Oh, right. Okay. And so, but obviously people have products which they've been creating in the game space.
Product, well, yeah, there are a lot of there. I mean, we showcase a lot of these games are put to use in a whole lot of industries. So yeah, some of these games are you put for training in professional context.
Oh yeah, no. The reason why I say it that way is because, you know, games, people have this not a notion of a game being something that they do for leisure. But this is a reinterpreting of that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, games for leisure, for sure. But I think that we have a long, long history in human culture of using games for more than leisure, using games for strategy, for insight, for abstracting ideas and concepts into a game-like space so that we can understand new and different things about it. Chess was for war at different points, and yeah, games have been put to use outside of leisure for a long time. But yeah, I think that for the last 20 years or so, we've seen an absolute explosion of just not just the games economy, but games being utilized in all kinds of areas of society. And I think we've moved away from games are just a nice to have or something fun or for kids or frivolous. Games are deeply engaging, deeply intelligent things that you can create to explore all kinds of ideas and concepts and to understand more about people and systems and how they interact.
Can you give us an idea of some of the games that are specifically in this area that apply to Australia in particular?
Yeah, absolutely. So one really, really wonderful example is called Sound Scouts, which is a simple app, phone game app that you can give to kids to play, and it can diagnose whether they've had any hearing loss or hearing issues. So rather than the scary experience of going into a doctor and being tested and being nervous and anxious about it, you can just play a game and find out and diagnose and know whether you need to do anything else. But the experience is no longer traumatic and removes all of that you know, experience of going to the doctor. Other examples are My Drive School, which was created to help create a safe environment for people to learn how to drive. And this, you know, at first you think, well, this is just a better way of learning to drive, but its social impact implications are huge as it's been adapted for all across the world, but with people with disability learning to drive, elderly people in Japan learning to drive, and women in Saudi Arabia, newly allowed drivers, but struggle to learn in the context that they're in. And so it has all these kinds of applications across the world, you know, just being created to learn how to drive.
So this particular area of games production, I mean, it obviously includes coding and narrative, as well as scientific data collection, I'm assuming, because otherwise you wouldn't know if it works, right?
Well, that's right. And so, I mean, last year we got to, because it was our first installment, we got to showcase a whole lot of games and how they've been used and how they were created and the different research that went into developing and evolving them over time. But this year we're focusing on having panel discussions where we can go deeper into exactly those questions. How do you know you've gathered enough evidence? How are you measuring the impact afterwards? What are the specific, use case examples that have worked and what haven't? So not just, I mean, now that we've got to celebrate the fact that we all know games can be put to good use. Now we're going deeper into some of the more challenging aspects and questions that are in the space.
So, Daniel, what's your background?
My background, well, I have for the last few years been running Playful Thinking, which is my organization that does professional development for teams and groups, all different contexts, university, corporate, and not-for-profit organizations. And I run workshops on leadership and creativity, communication and culture, but using play-based methodologies. So I guess games, we're focusing at Games for Change on the digital space. Extended reality, virtual reality, and online gaming. My work, my background is actually in the more analog space, running in-person games using Lego and building blocks and improv, theatre, and all range of different things to develop those skills.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it? Because games, as you said before, really do tell you about the psychology of a culture. And I'm assuming that these are non-competitive games.
Well, some of them simulate competition because there's competition in the real world and you have to learn to navigate it appropriately. And so part of that, they do include competition, but with a specific context. But yeah, a lot of the other games include exploration or specific skill teaching or teaching specific education. There's a great game called Streets of My Town, which is essentially like a virtual world, but it's based on the local area of wherever it's created. A good example is in the Dandenong region and for the community there. And what it does is it kind of simulates this virtual space that's based on the real world, but you can play it and understand what kind of services are there available to you. So all kinds of youth services that you might not be aware of if you were just walking through the area, but by being able to have these things highlighted in the virtual space, to move through it in the virtual space first, you're then more comfortable to access and be aware of those services in your area.
Oh, it's
So,
interesting.
yeah, all kinds of wonderful applications.
Do you employ, do they employ avatars?
Avatars.
As in the person who's doing it. I mean, I can imagine if you're talking about something like that, I can imagine you could have a role play game where a person is in a specific situation in a particular place and has to find things that could help them, and things that could help them could be a youth service. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah, and the wonderful thing about a game is because it's such a controlled environment, you can highlight what information is important and point, kind of direct behavior and learning as well. So yeah, it's really, really great.
Now, this the Games for Change is a festival, and it's a part of the overall festival that's going on. And it's running from the 4th to the 6th of October within the overall games.
Yeah, so
Yeah, tell
games.
us about
Melbourne
that.
International, yeah. So Melbourne International Games Week runs from the 1st to the 9th of October. It's in its 8th year, and the last couple have obviously been hard to get people actually gathering, but this year we get to all gather. And it showcases, I mean, Victoria and Australia are really global leaders in games in many ways. We have so many wonderful games coming out of here and game developers and success in the gaming industry coming out of Australia and Victoria. And so, yeah, Victoria, this International Games Week is just showcases all of that and what's out there and how it, across all the sectors, education, health, community, really wonderful week. I'm going to start lobbying for it to be International Games Month because it's becoming too jam-packed and I can't get to everything.
Well, the other thing before I let you go is how do the people who are part of your showcase become part of your showcase? Do they come to you, or do you have a look through through what's going on?
So last year we started with collecting essentially a wide, we put the call out far and wide for people to join us as curators. And so we had over 60 or 70 people on the curatorial team, all volunteering to, meet and have conversations about the games they're aware of out there. And so that was a wonderful way to start and kind of grow a huge community of people who are invested in helping to showcase this industry and what's going on in the sector. So, I mean, really, all we had to do was put the call out and let the call spread. And as people gathered, we got to gain, a huge range of perspectives and experiences. And we've got people on the team from across Asia Pacific as well. Hong Kong, Malaysia, India, Japan are all kind of a part of the team. And so, yeah, it's wonderful that we've been able to go so wide. And each year we're kind of growing the number of people who are a part of the network and community who can put the call out further to find out what's out there.
So, would you, I mean, how large is this industry? It must be huge by the sounds of it.
Growing and growing, absolutely. Every day, we're millions and billions.
Wow.
But yeah, absolutely. Well, these technologies are incredibly powerful. They're very useful. There was a team out of Australia that has been working with NASA on simulating the training for astronauts. So these applications, what you find when you create a game that tries to solve a particular issue is, or give a particular training or experience, is that it just opens up newer and newer applications that you couldn't have dreamed of before you started. And then once you've used it, people go, actually, I have a similar context where with a little bit of tweaking, we can use this technology to train in this completely different area. So the applications blow wide open once you start to actually put these games out into the world.